The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valenti and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, in studio, bringing us news from around the 10-county region, including the city of Pittsburgh. Rich, I kind of joked to Paul last hour that there are two things you're probably glad you don't have to deal with, and that's budgets that are so public, and then weather events back-to-back. So Allegheny County, as you well know, got a budget with an increase of 36% on the property tax. What does that really equate to?
Well, what really, since we haven't done it in Allegheny County for a dozen years, it's really kind of catching up to what inflation is. One of the problems that counties and local governments have is they have property tax, which does not adjust automatically with inflation the way income tax or sales tax do. So you're seeing other counties. I mean, the focus obviously has been on Allegheny because they're here. But other counties have had to do the same thing. So when you think about 36% over 12 years, basically 3% a year, which is probably what inflation has been. Some years maybe it was a 2%, some years 5 or 6% more recently. But that's basically, you're catching up to the inflation aspect. The good news is the county is in very solid financial position. When I left, it had the highest bond rating in over 40 years that Standard & Poor's and Moody's had given. We had the highest, the lowest debt levels that we had had in many years, and the highest fund balance. So there was a lot of money in the quote-unquote rainy day fund.
Right.
The adjustment did have to be made. You know, and again, council and the administration, give them both credit. They worked together. There was some contention, and you know, sometimes those things happen in a new administration. But you know, County Executive Anna Murata and her team worked hard. They got together with council members. Council wanted it at, what, 1.3 or something like that? The administration wanted 2.2. They kind of met in the middle at 1.7.
Oh, you mean a compromise.
A compromise.
Wow.
When government works together, you know. And I think that bodes well, not just for the budgetary process, but for a lot of other things that government has to work together on. Development, you know, one of the things we care about in this region is economic development and growth and the type of developments that will come, not just at the airport or in the Mon Valley or in downtown, but all throughout. So these things work best when government works together. And we see it at the federal level when they come together on an infrastructure bill. We see it at the state level when they come together, and at the local level.
It seems to me the infrastructure issues, there's more bipartisan effort to work together, just because they understand this is something needed for everybody. It becomes a little less political than a lot of other issues.
It does. You're right. But the contention often comes in how to pay for it.
Oh, somebody's got to pay for that.
and who has to pay for it? Do you put a surcharge on a certain product, or you toll a certain road, or do you do a gas tax or a mileage tax, or, you know, things like that? So that becomes a little bit of the fight. But yes, I think most people want to make sure that the roads are safe, that the bridges are safe, that our parks are nice, that our trails are nice, you know, these type of things. So, yes, there's a lot of agreement on those type of things.
A lot of people traveled, and I want to give credit, Pittsburgh International, the TSA, even though there have been long lines very early in the day, they managed, apparently, this record amount of air travel very well over this record-setting holiday weekend.
We have had record-setting month after month after month at Pittsburgh International Airport this year. It appears they may hit 10 million passengers this year. That was unheard of just a couple of years ago.
What was that at its, I guess, during COVID?
5 to 6 million? Yeah. Oh, well, COVID stopped. With COVID, it basically shut down. That
right.
That became...
So that doesn't count.
That almost doesn't count. But back when we had lost the hub, before pre-hub, with the hub, we were over 20 million passengers a year. But that was all connecting.
Right.
Our vast majority was connected.
To your point, they would fly into Pittsburgh, which was the, I guess, the whole idea of the air mall.
So yes,
people could
exactly.
come and shop and kill time while they're waiting.
Yep.
And then, of course, when U.S. Air moved the hub and became American Airlines, and now they're in Philadelphia and other places, we lost a lot of those travelers.
We went down to about 5 or 6 million passengers a year, and that's what pays the bills. So when we had this huge mortgage after having built the, quote, new airport in the late 80s, early 90s, we still had the payments to make, but we didn't have the revenues coming in that 20 million passengers a year was bringing to us. So it became, the savior was the natural gas. Once we got the natural gas back in 2013, that huge, huge amount of revenue that came in saved the whole thing. It brought us the great director, Christina Kasotis, that we were able to recruit. And then she was able to leverage that and build it up. And when we hit that 10 million, if we do hit that 10 million this year, it will be really a banner achievement.
And for those that don't know, that natural gas provides energy, self-contained generation.
It's become so much more than just the money to generate and sell off and get the royalties. You're exactly right. The only airport in the country that is self-sustaining by using its own natural gas resources and some solar as well. So it's groundbreaking, and they've been able to use it for a whole lot of things like cargo, freight, other fuel, and hopefully some opportunities with SAF, sustainable air fuel, which we're seeing the industry move towards.
And you told us about artificial intelligence and the hub here and its demand for power and energy, which puts us in a very good place.
It is. And as we're competing with other places around the country, and when we talk to County Commissioner Curtis a little bit later from Westmoreland County, they just got a big increase for a company called PowerX, and they are building the components for AI. And we're competing with the Ohios, the West Virginias, the Michigans, the Californias around AI. We have a couple great advantages. One of them is Carnegie Mellon University, which is the leading AI university in the country. And the other one is you need a lot of power. You're either going to use nuclear, natural gas, or coal, and we're abundant in all three.
And just a footnote, a couple of weeks ago, I was up at Westinghouse. Remember, they had this giant campus that was busting at the seams, and then there was a nuclear retraction, and now they're starting to come back with some of the, because of these opportunities, there's a demand, and they have, I guess, a smaller reactor that doesn't take as long to fire up and all that that's bringing them back.
Yeah, think about Westinghouse, a classic, you know, legacy company from Pittsburgh, you know, decades ago, really you're doing some groundbreaking things in the nuclear industry. And we do see it here, as you said, up in Cranberry, and they also have the operation over in Sharpsburg, which is really exciting Aetna, that we're starting to see in this community. So yes, and the fact that they brought Three Mile Island back online, doing that. So who would have ever thought that issue from the late 70s is now becoming rebirthed because Microsoft needs all that power over in the Harrisburg region.
Westinghouse is coming back. And, of course, Westinghouse Electric back in the day, the outgrowth on one of those things was KDKA.
Exactly. Things go full circle.
We got a lot to talk about with Rich Fitzgerald coming up on the Big K Morning Show from the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville, Ellen Gamble.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Accident in West Ingomar Road at Krepp Court. This is in McCandless Township. Heads up for the crews on the scene there and the slowdowns around it. Crews are headed to the scene of a reported accident in South Park Township. This is on Horning Road at Curry Road. If you're coming out of the South Hills by way of Route 51, you do have 51 northbound backing halfway to the intersection with Library Road from the intersection with Whited Street and Nobles Lane. Things do break up for you just a bit, and then it backs around Bowsman right before the mouth of the inbound Liberty Tunnels. West Liberty Avenue is stacking to Brookside. Parkway West inbound lines up for you before the top of Green Tree Hill. You'll sit on the Parkway East beginning at Wilkinsburg ahead of the Squirrel Hill Tunnels. And 28 southbound is heavy between Shaler Waterworks and Millvale down past the 31st Street Bridge. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 725. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Increasing cloudiness and a chance for a couple of snow showers late this afternoon with a high of 38, and then overnight, sweeping change. And Rich, you asked, boy, we got all this lake effect snow to the north, 5 feet, in one case, 6 feet of snow. We talked to a gentleman in Erie yesterday. He sent me a picture on his back porch, 4 feet of snow piled up. And you're saying, well, we didn't get anything from that.
It used to be when there would be the quote unquote lake effect snow that Erie and Cleveland would get. They might get a foot, but we'd get, you know, 5 or 6 inches maybe if a day or so later. Somehow the wind pattern, I don't know. I don't understand it, but it seems we've been very, very lucky. I haven't brought my snowblower out just yet.
Well,
so
Marty bought one 2 years ago. He said he hasn't had to really use it. He got an electric one.
Hope he didn't throw the directions away so he knows how to turn it on. So
meanwhile, it was explained that we're still fairly early in the season. The relative temperature of the waters of the Great Lakes is warmer, and we had this Arctic air mass come over, and it just kept generating snow with the wind, and it just blew into those typical lake effects, but it didn't go farther south that would affect us. So we kind of got lucky. In fact, Sunday was a nice sunny day, but you may be tuned into Sunday Night Football to see the Bills and 49ers, and it was a snow globe. Kind of like what happened in Cleveland for the Steelers
exactly.
A couple of Thursdays
ago. Kind of old-fashioned football. And well, I'm glad you're here to explain that, Larry. Your you know, past history as a meteorologist comes in handy, so we're glad to have your expertise.
I'm in the Weather Witness Protection Program. We continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which includes 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. Wanted to mention, we were talking about sports in this town, such a big deal. Pittsburgh Steelers, for the first time involved in HBO's Hard Knocks. NFL Films has crews living here in the AFC North. All four teams, Browns, Bengals, and Ravens, are involved, and they'll take it to whatever happens from here. And they've been here for a few weeks, but the debut episode was last night at 9. I didn't see it, but I'm recording the series. I'll be anxious because I don't think the coach likes this. I mean, there were 21 cameras they showed in a room. So they got everything going on, and it seems a little invasive.
I think the coaches would call that a distraction.
Yes, and they don't want
they want to focus on the next week's opponent and the plays they need to run and the strategy and all the other things get in the way.
But you wanted to give a shout-out to the women's volleyball team. University of Pittsburgh ranked number one in the nation.
Number one in the country. That is really something. And Coach Fisher, you know, Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, Olivia Babcock. This team has really done over the last couple of years, you know, seems to make the Final Four every year. Being ranked number one, though, this year, and Friday night they start their playoff run against Moorhead at the Peterson. So we hope everybody shows up and tunes in. A lot to be proud of. Good for them. Congratulations.
Yeah, I have not seen in person a game, but I would love to do that. And do that if you can. This team is special. And football, Penn State and Oregon, huge game this weekend.
Who would have thought? You know, Ohio State was a multi-point favorite against Michigan last week and just couldn't get it done. So Penn State gets to play Oregon. They're playing in Indianapolis this weekend, and it will be interesting. But it looks like Penn State will be getting a home playoff game either way.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs for sure and have a good chance. They're one of the top-ranked teams in the country. And speaking of which, you have 8 children. They're all Nittany Lion alumni.
They are.
And you had seven of your kids home for the holidays, right?
We did. It was a special holiday, and to have everybody there. And I think everyone, something about Thanksgiving, you can predict, you know, the whole weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, on through the weekend. People can travel, come home. Wednesday night, everybody seems to go out and reunite with the people that they have. But the one thing this year, we have a condensed holiday season. Christmas is 3 weeks away already. It's like you had to immediately take the Thanksgiving decorations down and immediately put the Christmas decorations up.
3 weeks from today.
From today, yeah.
And the Steelers will be hosting the Kansas City Chiefs Christmas Day, 1 o'clock. And somebody asked me, hey, Lair, is Taylor Swift coming? I don't know. They don't inform me Taylor Swift's coming. Because of Travis Kelce, who plays for the
Chiefs.
We've
had the president. We've had the Elon Musk. We've had some big year for, and if Taylor Swift might top it off on Christmas.
That's right. We've had everybody who's anybody in politics and otherwise seems to have made their way through Pittsburgh over the last calendar year. That said, looking ahead, we want to talk about what's coming, and that's part of what I enjoy about your visits. It's you spend a lot of time looking at the future.
Well, it really is. It's always about the future, whether we're talking about elections or whether we're talking about who the Steelers or Pitt are going to be playing this week. It's exciting. And Pittsburgh region has become very futuristic, whether it's in technology, medicine, energy, what have you. We're always looking ahead.
And I want to give you an opportunity. You'd mentioned the passing of a very important and a very inspirational story of a judge.
Yeah, Judge Alex Bickett passed away earlier this week. And Judge Bickett was one of those very, very special people in public life. A hard worker, always came to work with a smile. And a special thing that I got to know Alex Bickett, for those of you who have ever run for office or been part of the process, you realize there's a circuit you go on, and you go before this crowd, and whether it's in Millville or Monroeville or Hampton or wherever, and they grill you. And the year that I ran in 2011 for county executive was the year Alex Bickett ran for judge. So we got to the point where we could give each other speeches by the end of this 2 month process you go through. And he used to talk about, I used to bring my wife's biscotti. My wife makes great, great biscotti. And to curry favor with the crowd, you would hand out some biscotti to people. And Alex had a sweet tooth and really loved the biscotti. So if he showed up late for one of the meetings and the biscotti was all gone, Alex Bickett was, where's the biscotti? How come your wife didn't leave me enough? So I'm going to miss him. And I think everyone's going to miss the great work that Judge Bickett, and our condolences to his wife, a wonderful family. Alex is just a great, great guy.
And something special about he immigrated here in this country and became the first to become a judge from South Africa?
Yes. He came from South Africa. And if you ever had a conversation, you knew Alex didn't have a Pittsburghese accent. He had that South African accent and just was a very, very, just a good, good person. And yes, the path that he traveled was so much harder and so much more different than many of us have had the opportunity to travel.
Well, our thoughts and prayers with his family and many friends and people who admired his work. With Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, joins us every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour. Power. Explain, Rich, you had mentioned that artificial intelligence, and we have a chance to truly become a hub here, which would be tremendous, but it needs power. Why?
It needs electrical power, because the amount of electrical energy to run all of these data processing units is insatiable. And it's going to be running, you know, machines, and not just, we're seeing it even in our autonomous vehicles that are getting more autonomous as we speak. But it's just going to, the need is insatiable. And we're going to see the electrification of this country. People are seeing it in their own vehicles. They're seeing it in the appliances in their homes, stoves and things that used to be run by, you know, gas and other things. So this transformation is really going to occur, and we in Southwestern Pennsylvania are poised to really benefit economically for doing this.
And one of those areas is Westmoreland County.
Westmoreland County, exactly. And I believe we have the county commission chairman Mr. Sean Curtis with us today. And I was excited when I saw that an investment in your county, Mr. Commissioner, for PowerX, a $3 million investment that the federal government is going to be making through the CHIPS and Science Act, which is going to make this plant much more competitive and lead to more jobs. First of all, welcome and being with us, and let us know the exciting things happening here in Westmoreland County.
Absolutely, Rich. And Larry, thank you so much for having me on, as always. I enjoy coming on here, hearing from you guys and what's going on around the region, as well what's happening in the county next door from Allegheny, Westmoreland. So, yes, PowerX, very excited. You know, we have a $3 million support from the Biden-Harris administration. Total investment's going to be about $15 million to modernize and expand, you know, the production facility in Youngwood. This facility produces semiconductors and is part of Department of Defense and does for F-35s. They're also working on commercial industrial applications, and the funding, obviously, is going to be modernized for onshoring jobs to bring, obviously, these kind of major industries back, such as semiconductor productions. We have approximately 55 manufacturing jobs, and about 20 construction jobs will be coming back for this. So right now, which is a fundamental thing, is we saw a massive shift. When we spoke earlier, Rich, and with the SPC and being part of that, manufacturing has always been number three in our county. We have now surpassed from number three to number two. We are seeing economic growth from the manufacturing side here in Westmoreland County from another major investment we have from our state leaders and Governor Shapiro, as well as federal dollars coming is a project, once again, across the river from Allegheny. It's called Rebuild, where we have an $81 million investment for an upgrade of 175,000 square feet space. And it's going to have 300 advanced manufacturing jobs. And this facility is the old Alcoa plant that's been sitting there for decades as a blighted facility that's been obviously no one could do anything with. And to have a partnership with the Industrial Development Corporation, as well as RIDC, the state, and the feds, it's fantastic to see what this is going to have potential for that community of New Kensington. They're going to primarily focus on hiring those individuals in the community, get them up and running, and help restructure, reshape an area that has been needing economic, you know, thriving, an economic juggernaut that it needs so badly. In addition, we're seeing expansion, which is fantastic to see that there's a long-term commitment to Westmoreland County. We have Chelsea Building Products. It's another global footprint around the area. It's a German-based company, 2,228,000 square foot investment, $25 million. They are in Oakmont, and they're putting a secondary location in Westmoreland County in Swickley Township. We also had earlier this year Weiss Ag Production Tech open a new 69,000 square feet advanced manufacturing center down in our Westmoreland Business and Research Park. Another 150 jobs coming down the way. They do medical, aerospace, and defense and automotive. And another big one is Hitachi Energy. They are doing switchgear and breakers, and they announced $60 million investment into Mount Pleasant. So from just those four or five items that I read off, it's amazing to see what manufacturing, how Westmoreland County is just really thriving and really coming back with this, obviously, this push for onshoring jobs. And we're having people from, obviously, as you heard, from global companies that want to move here and stay here and be a partnership. And even from where you're at, Rich, and Larry, down in Allegheny County, seeing that crossover to a multi-county region is what we need. But one of the bigger aspects, as we talk about and what, you know, SPC is about, is our workforce. And this is my bread and butter. What I'm very proud about is talking about is, you know, one of our problems that we have, and regionally in Western Pennsylvania, as we've been talked about over the years, and my family being from Pittsburgh, it's always what we've been always talked about being like the brain drain center. You get educated at all these wonderful universities around the region, and then you move out. You don't stay here. You know, you move on, either you go eastern part of the state or you go south or west. That fundamental change is what I've been working on heavily from private business community to workforce development centers, and talking to the high schools and having that conversation very aggressively. We are one of the older and oldest population counties in the Commonwealth right now with a median age of 50 years old. And to reverse that trend, we have to be very aggressive and have forward thinking here. And with my colleagues and my commissioners, we have given nearly $1 million to our school districts in Westmoreland County to have create a new pathways program that's going to work collectively with the school districts in tandem presenting what is available currently right now, and they can start seeing what jobs are available, i.e. nursing. If I live in Hemphill Township, there's a company called General Carbide. They'll do on-scale training. You start working there at a high school. You start doing an internship-based program where they pay you. You do a half day. We need to do a radical transformation and having hands-on training back to like almost the 1970s mentality, because we are a blue-collar county. We are a trade county. And for our economy and for us to survive for the future generations, we need to go back to that blue-collar, work hands-on, getting the youth involved, understanding that if you want to go to college, fantastic. That is great. We are proud of that. We have wonderful universities here. The college is not for everybody
anymore. Other than that, Sean, nothing's going on.
Sean, yeah. we gotta get you some more coffee to get you excited about what's going on in Westmoreland County.
We didn't even get into Amazon and then
Stack AV and all the other futuristic things. And your community college is fantastic. And your convention center. You got a lot of things going on.
Sean, we'll have to have you back. But thank you.
I understand. Sean. I understand, but I just want to talk about the important things, and I appreciate you being here. I'm trying to just let everyone know what's happening in Westmoreland County.
Great things happening, and you're a big part of it, you and your team, and keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate your passion. We do. Westmoreland County Commission Chair Sean Curtis. Yeah, he clearly is excited about what's going on.
And they do have, and you're talking about towns like Youngwood and Mount Pleasant and New Stanton and New Kensington that are coming back and coming back with good opportunities and good jobs.
Hour flies when you're here, Rich. I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people enjoy learning about what's going on in the 10-county region and our city. And it seems like energy, artificial intelligence are going to be big drivers for job creation and the economy here.
I don't think there's any question about that. And as you know, we were talking off air, you know, bringing more people into this region, more young people into this region, and even people from around the world that don't necessarily look like us. And I think we're doing a lot of that, you know, because technology and opportunities tend to be a magnet for people to want to be here, and our great universities have led a lot of that. And I think we're in a good place.
Well, you mentioned the universities, absolutely, because we have people that are coming to higher education from all over the world, and hopefully attracting some of them to stay and utilize the great minds of these young people.
I like to say, once we get them here, once they come through the tunnel. There's something about this place that has a hold on you. And if you come here to go to school, a lot of times you do stay. You meet somebody from Pittsburgh, from the region, and you tend to plant your roots here. And we just need to have more of that. And one of the problems I think we all have as Pittsburghers is we're not always that good about selling and tooting our own horn. We kind of get the work done, but we're not always good about marketing and saying what a great place this is.
Well, appreciate the rest of the world. Visit. Yeah, we are trending up in the region. It definitely feels like that. So we'll see you next Monday. I mean, 3 weeks till Christmas today.
3 weeks to Christmas. And I have to, tomorrow is my wife's birthday. We're going out. It's her 64th birthday. I shouldn't be.
You shouldn't have put the number up. You're going to get in trouble.
We're going to go to a nice Christmas show in downtown and go out to dinner. And anyway, happy birthday, Kathy.
Happy birthday. We'll include her on our big celebrity birthdays tomorrow morning. Rich, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission.